just after 8 o'clock Sunday morning. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, flagship station of the 2018 Western Conference champion Vegas Golden Knights. I am Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We're here every Sunday live in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio in Las Vegas. The we I'm referring to is producer Chris Magnum Chapman. Mags is the wearer of many hats here at the Las Vegas Sports Network, and he is Vegas Golden Knights radio locker room correspondent. If you are listening for the first time again, this is Out of Line, and you can catch the show also online. It's streaming at the LVSportsNetwork.com. Holding the camera over here, Jose Valonte to my right. And you can also follow this show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM. And you can watch us on Facebook Live. The Facebook page is called Out of Line. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. The show is interactive, so that does mean your calls and thoughts are welcome. The Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Riley Smith, shorthanded goal already today. Gives the puck away in front. No shot. Now in the middle, they score. Red Wings win in overtime, 3-2.
For the first time in 16 years, Auburn is going to the Sweet 16. 89-75, the final.
Yeah, I think some of it definitely was their good defense, and a lot of it was just me being off my shot.
What's on Tap, sponsored by our title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com. On Tap, as you just heard, the Vegas Golden Knights lost in overtime last night, snapping a seven-game home winning streak. On Nightcap, I talked to John Merrill, and Magnum talks to William Carrier about a loss that most felt would be a win. And joining us shortly, a guy I'm excited to have on the show for the first time to talk March Madness, former coach and current basketball analyst for CBS Sports Network, is Pete Gillen. He'll be here as well. What's on Tap does come your way thanks to Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
John, game tonight, you guys are so hot. You come in here hot, 7 in a row here at T-Mobile Arena, 9-1 in your last 10 games. Is it just a case where you guys were really overconfident? The Wings came in determined to win this game.
I don't know so much we were overconfident, but they came in and they were ready to work, and we weren't. And that was the difference in the game tonight, especially early. They're ready to work and win battles, and we weren't.
Played really well defensively, I think, both sides. It was a well-played game at the end. What do you think was the difference?
Like I said, we weren't ready to play. They were first to pucks a lot early on, and a couple of costly mistakes. We hung Subs out to dry. And that's the difference.
I know it's not a good thing, and you mentioned that for a game like this, but does it get you to refocus and say, hey, as good as we're playing, we got to show up every single night?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess you can look to take some positive out of this, and that's what it is. You got to be ready to play against every team in this league, and you got to come out desperate and prepared.
One other thing, Mark Stone, it's only the second loss since he's joined the team. How big of an acquisition was that at the trading deadline?
That's a huge move, and we're extremely happy to have him, and he's fit in really nice.
Mark Stone, man, that's one of the common denominators of these last 12 games where they've gone 10-1-1. This guy is just a winner. Over 30 goals, the only guy on the team with 30 goals over 60 points. And Chris, you're in there a lot. I got to tell you, man, Mark Stone, the addition to that guy, I don't think people realized how valuable he is. And it's not just the fact that he always puts in the net, the puck in the net. You have to account for him. You've got, when he is on the ice, you have to account for him. He is one of the league's great snipers.
Yeah, he is. And you know, I don't think last night was his best game, I'll be honest. In fact, I think you and me disagree on the game itself. You think the Golden Knights played okay. I don't think they played good at all. You know, they came out sluggish, and I thought that a lot of it was early on. The first and second lines of the Golden Knights really were outplayed by Detroit's first and second line. I mean, I thought the third and fourth line played okay in that first period, But it wasn't until Detroit scored that Vegas kind of started getting going. I mean, I think it took them about 6 or 7 minutes to get their first shot on net.
It did. It took them. I was questioning that as well, Chris, but I still thought they played decently. I thought Detroit probably played one of their best games of the season.
Yeah, but the problem is you look at what's across the ice in Detroit, and even on a night where the Golden Knights don't play their best, they should beat the Detroit Red
Wings. And they just about did. They just about did.
They just about did. They got the point. They took it to overtime. And, you know, it's important to get that point. You're one point closer to the playoffs. I think the magic number, I mean, they don't really call it the magic number, but I think the magic number is 3 points now. So you win one of your next two games and the teams behind you lose and you're in. But I think the thing is, I felt bad for Malcolm Subban. I don't think he played great, but he played good enough to win, and they left him out to dry, like John Merrill said. Look, the first
goal, he got lucky a couple times. Inadvertently hit him a few times.
The one in the second period where I thought it was a goal.
So that where it hit the post and just kind of bounced
because
out?
Because you didn't hear it. I thought it hit the inside of the net.
Yeah.
But the two goals, the first goal Detroit scored, and then the game-winning goal by Mantha, which, by the way, if there's a guy who should now be public enemy number one in Las Vegas, it's Anthony Mantha, because last year he's a guy. By the way, I think it's really cool that he plays with an all-white stick, right? You don't see that a lot in the NHL, guys with all-white sticks. You know, usually it's black or you'll see like the shiny blue or red. But Anthony Mantha plays with an all-white stick. But last year, for those who don't remember or may not be, you know, aware, he was the guy who collided with Marc-Andre Fleury in that first game.
That sent him out for like 20 games.
He gave him the concussion, knocked him out for 25 games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Last night, he scores the power play goal to tie the game in the third period, and then he scores the game-winning goal.
It.
So, Anthony Mantha, fine player for the Red Wings, but I think he's public enemy number one in Las Vegas, at least among Golden Knights fans.
Give George McPhee some time. He'll be a Vegas Golden Knight next year.
You know, the thing is, with Mark Stone, I think a couple nights ago against Winnipeg, he set the tone early. He came out, he delivered a big hit on Blake Wheeler of Winnipeg,
yep.
30 seconds into the game, and they dropped the gloves. 30 seconds
that
in.
That was awesome.
And Stone are dropping the gloves.
That was awesome.
But, you know, if you listen to the guys talk about Stone, they're like, he just does so many things good that it instantly makes you a better player just because he's so good. I think with Patch already out, and we don't know how long he's going to be out, I think they're going to have to try a couple different combinations because as much as I like Alex Tuch, I thought he was the glaring, you know, he was a little bit of a weakness last night.
Even, you know, Chris, he had that point blank. He walked right in and he was point blank and he threw it right at the goaltender's chest. And that's not the Alec Tuch we're used to. He would deke and make a little move, try to go in the five hole or something, and he just threw it right at him. And I'm like, is it a lack of confidence with him?
No, I don't think it's that. And it wasn't just him. You know, I thought Stastny at times
looked
slow. Yeah,
but this scoring drought that he is in is pretty dramatic.
Well, and the thing is, I think everybody wants to think Alex Tuch is this you know, long-time vet because
he's a 21-year-old kid.
He's 22 years old, 22, and he's only got, 100 and something games, 100, maybe 135, 140 games played in his career. Look, he's a guy in 2-3 years, he's going to be a 30-goal scorer in the league.
Chris.
But right now, he's still growing, and he's maturing, and he's still learning. And, you know, I'm sure playing with Cody Eakin is very comforting for him because it seems to me that he plays his best when he plays with Cody Eakin. Last night, they had him with Stone and Stastny. And there were moments last night where I thought Stastny looked slow. And maybe it was just because Detroit...
missed a golden opportunity to put the puck in the net too last night.
Stone did as well.
Yeah.
You know, they played Zykov last night, who we had not seen in a very long time. And I thought there was a play where Zykov should have scored a goal because he had an opportunity. He skated in and he hesitated. He took a little too long and then he shot it up over Howard. But I think if he shoots the puck a little earlier, he may score. In fact, I'm pretty confident that he scores. But with that, it's probably a lack of, you know, your timing's off when you don't play. You can only do so much in practice. And look, when I talked to Malcolm Subban when he wasn't playing, his comment to me was, well, practice is my game. Well, it's hard to replicate.
Oh, game speed and practice speed are so
different. It doesn't matter what sport you're talking about, whether I mean, I guess maybe baseball because, you know, it's not a speed game per se. But, you know, whether it's lacrosse or field hockey or basketball or NFL or whatever, you can't replicate the speed in practice. You just and no matter what, no matter how much the coach is pushing you, you're never going to have that same aggressiveness because you don't want to hurt guys on your team, especially in a sport like hockey where there's big collisions, you know. But I thought Detroit played a really good game last night. I thought their game plan was good. They came in. They kind of neutralized the speed of the Golden Knights early. They didn't put themselves in position to get laid out. You know, I mean, I thought, that, like I said, Dylan Larkin, despite the fact that he had two penalties in the game, he's aggressive. He's got a mean streak. And he played well.
He's a good hockey player. Chris, a couple of things touching on what you said. First of all, when you go to Alex Tuch, no question, he's a very young player. He's 22 years old. And Alex Tuch, I think, like you, will at some point in his career, provided he stays healthy, will be a perennial all-star. However, I'm not going to make excuses for him. Guys slump, and he is in a slump. You can see it in the way that he plays. Like you said, his aggressiveness, that wonderful reach that we all talk about with Alex Tuch, with him being long and able to reach a little farther than other players. I don't see him utilizing that as much. I think he'll be fine. It's a slump. Let him slump now and get it together before the postseason, because I'll tell you right now, the Golden Knights are going to need everybody, and they're going to need Alex Tuch come the postseason.
Well, yeah,
and then as far as Ryan Reeves, I wanted to say this. You know what I love about this guy is every time, like, I'll lose attention for a minute. Maybe I'll be talking to the guy next to me, and then you just hear a thud against the boards and everyone cheers. It's always him. Every time that guy is on the ice, he hits somebody, and I love it about him, where when you're another team, you have to be cognizant of Ryan Reeves at all times, because this guy will lay you out. He spends his time looking to hit somebody, but he also does look to put the puck in the net and look to set up people. He had an assist last night, and he too missed one golden scoring opportunity.
Yeah, there was a moment where he and Carrier they connected twice. He found Carrier in front of the net, and
they
Carrier
know each
found
other
him.
Well. Yeah. They play well together. It's kind of fun to watch them.
They do, and you know, I think Ryan Reeves is a guy. When he came here, I think a lot of fans didn't like him because that first game, he really let you know, this is my team now. You're not going to mess with guys on my team, and he really went all out against the Kings. Took a couple penalties. I fell in love with him.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, look, this is the guy. You know, and there's some speculation that maybe in the offseason he's going to be moved to clear some cap space, whatever. I don't think that's going to happen. My opinion is you cannot and you do not move Ryan Reeves, because if you do, you lose your bargaining chip anytime one of your guys gets out on the ice, because teams – are afraid of Ryan Reeves.
No, there's no question. He presents a problem for anyone that plays against him, because, well, again, you have to be accountable for him. He is a guy that is going to always protect his other players, well, as you said, I love it.
But the thing is, not only will he kick your ass if you go after one of his teammates, but he's got the potential to score goals, and big goals at that, because Ryan Reeves is the guy, the only member of the Golden Knights who has a game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup Finals.
That's crazy.
He's the only guy on this team who has a series or a conference championship clinching goal. Remember, Ryan Reeves scored the winning goal against Winnipeg to give the Golden Knights the Western Conference Championship. He scored the winning goal in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals. There's not one guy on the roster who's done that.
Well, here's what I will say about Ryan Reeves, and I want to get to Ryan Reeves' line mate, William Carrier, who you got to talk to, and I like the interview. He's a little bit salty, and you like hearing that. But, you know, with Ryan Reeves, again, besides just being the enforcer of this team, he is a very well-liked guy off the ice. These guys, he is a favorite of all of them. But one of the things, Chris, and we see this in practice, I haven't been this year but to one practice, but I saw it last year. Him and Gerard Gallant have a very good relationship. And when you're saying, you know, move him out to clear cap space, it's not a ton of money that they're paying Ryan Reeves. They're paying him well for what he does and for his skill set. But Gerard Gallant and him have a good relationship. They mess around on the ice, and Gerard really likes him. And I think he brings a positive energy. But the one thing I will say about Ryan Reeves, Chris, this guy, every time he is on the ice, works very hard. He's not the best skater. He is not the most skilled player. He doesn't have the softest hands in the world, but he works hard every time he hops over the board. He is looking for somebody to hit, and he's looking somehow to get in the mix and make things happen, and that is the kind of player you want. He's the ultimate team player. As much of a brute as he is, and even though he's a goon, he is a team player, and you got to love that about Ryan Reeves. Listen, before we go to break, Chris, on the way to break, I want to play your interview with William Carrier. After the game, you talked to him about this type of game, the mindset of this team going forward, and Will Carrier is a good guy to talk to, man. He is a guy like Ryan Reeves. Like I said, man, it is tough going against that fourth line of the Vegas Golden Knights. They can do some serious damage, and I'm not talking about scoring damage. Just pure out damage. They can wreak havoc, and I like it. But this was Chris talking to William Carrier last night.
Will, how did it feel to get back out there tonight?
Felt good. I mean, practice by yourself for 3-4 weeks is tough, so it's nice to be out there with the boys and skating, try to get my game back. It would have been nice to get a couple of goals tonight. We had a great chance, me and Revo, so I'll just work on that.
You and him, you mentioned great chance. He mm-hmm. found you once, you found him once. Just mm-hmm. was it pretty easy to just get back and start playing with him because you guys were so comfortable with each other?
Yeah, we know. We play the same way, and I know where he's going to be, and it's so easy, you know. Like you know, you play a guy for a full year, and I played with him last year, and I know we know each other, and even knows you. You know, we all play together, so it's pretty easy, you know. Yeah.
There was a third period you got to play with Mark Stone and mm-hmm. Paul Stastny. What was that like for you to play with two guys like that? Maybe a different style than you're used to?
I mean, they play the right way. They don't cheat. They don't take shortcuts. They're like me and Revo, but with hands and then with some finish. So I think we had a couple of good chances. It would have been nice to honor that, put that one in. They had a good chance and had a good chance too. So it was a tough night, just a tough night for the boys.
How bad do you guys feel for Malcolm? Because he played good, and it just seemed like there were a couple mistakes you guys made, and it just really cost you guys the game.
Yeah, just a couple individual mistakes. Those are going to happen in a game. We just need to create a little bit more offense, get the puck deep, and go to work. I mean, that's the way we want to play. We're trying to get out of the D zone, and I think we were in the D zone a little bit too much tonight. So he made some key saves for us, but we just couldn't get the extra goal or two to help him.
You guys had a sluggish start in the first period, sluggish start in the second period. Were you guys just not ready to play, or did Detroit do something to kind of force you guys into that style of game?
They were skating. They were just skating more than we were. Can't say we weren't ready, but they weren't ready to go. They were skating. They got a couple of young kids out there that they could fly, and that's the way we want to play. That's the way I want to play. So we just got to get back to that. There's some nights it's going to be tougher to get that game, but we just got to find a way to play the right way, 60 minutes every night.
All right, Will, thanks a lot.
No problem.
Coming up at 8:30, you are listening to Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Again, it is the flagship station of the reigning Western Conference champion, Vegas Golden Knights, 2018. I'm Brian Feldman. This is Out of Line. Directly in front of me is Chris Magnum Chapman. He is the producer extraordinaire and also Vegas Golden Knight locker room correspondent for Vegas Golden Knights Radio. Does a great job on there. So you heard the William Carrier interview a minute ago with Chris, and he does a great job with that. And, of course, Jose Valente in studio right now, hooking us up, making it easy on me to not have to play with that that camera because it does get to be a pain. And so we're working on still getting him on, Chris? Okay, he's working on it. We're working on getting Pete on the air. We're going to see if we can get him in a few minutes. But the number to call, Fox Sports Studio Line, 702-876-1340. Give us a call. We're going to talk some... go ahead and you can play fact this, Chris, and if we get a hold of him, we'll get him in it. But I do want to make this because it is a fact.
Fact this. Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Yeah, it's a fact. After 12 upsets in 32 games on Thursday and Friday in the NCAA tournament, On Saturday, there was only one upset, if you want to call it that. In the Midwest region, number 5 seed Auburn beat the number 4 seed Kansas. And Kansas getting bumped in the second round is a very rare thing. You don't see that very often. And I think that's why they call it an upset. And, of course, Kansas was favored to win that game. But Auburn, man, is a team that lives and dies by the three-pointer. When they are burying the triple or their perimeter game is on, Auburn's one of the best in the country at that. And they are disruptive, and they flat-out beat Kansas. Kansas just could never get on track in that game, and Auburn beat them. And Auburn's going to be a tough out. But the point is, everything that should have happened yesterday other than maybe that game happened. And, you know, the bottom line is this is a trend I believe is going to continue. I think the two upsets I could see today, and maybe three, Buffalo is absolutely no slouch. I like Texas Tech. I actually have them getting to the Final Four on one of my two grids that I filled out. The Red Raiders are playing some great basketball. Chris Beard has done a phenomenal job there. Was a UNLV coach for 19 hours. The only undefeated UNLV coach in history. But seriously, I like Chris Beard a lot. It is unbelievable what he's done there. And when you look at it, and I think, Chris, you pointed this out before, but, you know, Marvin Menzies and Chris Beard both got hired at their respective schools in the exact same season. Now, granted, Chris Beard didn't walk into the situation Marvin Menzies walked into with a clean cupboard for the most part, but still, he has absolutely built a program. We'll put it this way. If Texas Tech made the Final Four out of the West region, I don't think, would you be absolutely shocked and fall off your chair?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
But, you know, here's the other thing, too. And unfortunately, this is now a reality for whoever the next coach at UNLV is as well. We've gotten to the stage in college basketball where you fire a coach and pretty much everybody transfers. UNLV has already had 5 kids say they were going to transfer. Shakur Justin, he's gone. I mean, nobody is officially gone until they sign with another school, but Juicen says he's transferring. JTT says he's transferring.
Tom Way says he's
back. Jong, you know, you've lost 5 guys.
The nucleus of this team is gone.
Yeah.
You're starting
now,
from scratch.
Now, to be fair, Amari Hardy, he has not said what he plans on doing, and, you know, hopefully Amari Hardy will sit and wait and see who the next coach is before he makes a decision. But, you know, I think
you didn't give him the number to the studio when you texted him? You got to give him the number to the studio.
Yeah. But, you know, I think, you know, if you're a UNLV fan and you believe that Nate Oates is the guy, you want Buffalo to lose this game today. Because a win by Buffalo probably means Nate Oates is not going to be. And to be honest, I have no idea if Nate Oates is on. I would imagine he is on the radar of UNLV. But I don't know if a win today will eliminate BYU because there's some openings at other schools. Vanderbilt comes to mind. That maybe a bigger school, and I hate to say bigger school because it pains me that this is where we're at in college athletics, where there's such a disparity between schools in one of these Power 5 conferences and everyone else, that they could come and poach a coach whenever they want. But, you know, I think the reality is a loss by Buffalo today makes Nate Oates a much more realistic possibility to UNLV than it does if they win.
Well, you know, Chris, I heard that the minute that VCU lost, that they were all over Mike Rhodes, that they were talking to him about potentially coming to UNLV. And I think that's a good, you know, I think that would be a good fit as well. I just, you know, Chris, we were texting, and I think you were in the text when we were talking about Mike Miller potentially being the coach. And
yeah.
And I don't think it's a terrible move. There's NBA ties. It's a great thing. But the problem is, I don't think that Mike Miller is going to excite the general populace fill the Thomas and Mack. And I think that is.
I completely disagree because I think Mike Miller is going to bring in top 50, top 75 recruits. There will be excitement.
Okay.
His brother, they've already got. I mean, the reality is, from things I've heard, if Mike Miller is hired at UNLV, they become a serious player for the number 5 kid in the country right out of the gate. Now, can Mike Miller coach? I don't know. The reality is Mike Miller played in the NBA for a long time. He's very good friends with LeBron James. He's got connections. Mike Miller is an exciting hire. I think of anybody, Mike Miller would be the most exciting hire. Because he did play in the NBA, because he's got his brother, Ryan, who can recruit unbelievably. And I do think he's got it. Look, the guy played in the NBA for a long time. You have to know a lot about basketball to be a good player and have a career like that, as long as it did. Because let's be honest, he was never an elite player. He never had the exceptional game that made him an elite player. He was a good player. And I think he would be in a very exciting hire.
I'm not going to disagree with you whatsoever. I think he would be a decent hire here. There was a couple guys that I thought would be a decent hire, and it's something we're going to talk about in a little bit. I think we got Pete on the phone. Pete Gillen joining the phone now. CBS Sport Network in the Big Apple right now in New York City. What's going on, Pete?
Nothing much. Just getting ready for this afternoon's game. So I'm excited. I did some studio work tonight for CBS Sports Network. So I'm excited. It's a great time of year if you love basketball.
Oh, man. Pete, what have you seen so far? I mean, this tournament, like all the others, it has some exciting moments. Yesterday was one of the rare days where you did not have an upset. Like I said, you can call Auburn over Kansas an upset. I'm not going to call that an upset. And that's the only one that really would ring that way. And I'm looking at today's game. I see a couple of potential upsets. I wouldn't sleep on Ohio State. I definitely, all these, you know, as much as I like Texas Tech and what Chris Beard has done there, I definitely would not sleep on this Buffalo team in any way, shape, or form. And I think even a team like another Big Ten team like an Iowa could definitely wreak some havoc as well.
No question. A lot of balance. Most of the heavy hitters won yesterday, by good scores. There was a couple upsets a few days ago with Liberty, knocking off Mississippi State. That was a good one. And UC Irvine winning. Beating Kansas State was a little beat up. But for the most part, the heavy hitters are winning. The big-time teams are winning. So it's a little different. But, the game should be fun, and it should be very exciting. I mean, I'm looking forward to today to see Gonzaga against Florida State. That's going to be a great one down the road,
I think that's going to be an incredible game. I think Florida State is one of those teams that they get to the Final Four, nobody is going to be surprised at all. And then their familiarity with Duke could bode well for them. They're a team that definitely was playing their best basketball at the end of the season when you want to be. And a team that I would definitely worry about in the way they put a hurting on Murray State. I know Murray State, people got overly hyped because of how great of a player Ja Morant is. But again, he's one player, and Florida State is a team filled with players that are athletic, really good, and a team that can make a deep run in this tournament. I want to ask you about one of the teams, especially out here. I met Pete, and I mentioned that at the beginning of the show, at the Mountain West Media Day, and we were there, and we were sitting next to each other when a team that I thought was a team that was going to be able to vie for, at least the Sweet 16, if not deeper, because they made it last year, was this Nevada-Reno team. Really fell apart at the end of the season, and though I was equating it to somebody I was saying the other day, I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Replacement, with Keanu Reeves, but when he talked about something that you fear, and he talked about in football something called quicksand, and it's like Nevada got stuck in quicksand, and it morphed into the Mountain West Conference tournament where they got beat by San Diego State, and they just never fully got on track.
You're right. I had them a lot. I had them six times during the year, Nevada Reno, and they had a wonderful season, but they I think Paralon got banged up. As you know, he didn't play in the semifinals when they lost to San Diego State. So I think health had something to do with it. But, yeah, but they struggled. I had the game at Utah State up in Logan, Utah. Their starters played a lot of minutes. So I think they got drained. The Martin Twins and Jordan Paralon, I think they got a little burnt out by playing so many minutes. They were in the top 10 for a good part of the year. And I think the shot selection wasn't great. They took a lot of bad shots. But they had a wonderful season, but they peaked early, and then, as you said, it was like a slow descent into the quicksand, I didn't think they'd win. I thought they'd get knocked off the first game. I was rooting for them, but I didn't think they would win, and unfortunately, they didn't play real well. But they had a great season, but unfortunately, they were on a decline near the end.
Well, they were, and their best player, one of the two twins, Caleb Martin, a solid player, a first-round draft pick in the National Basketball Association, I don't think he's played his way out of the first round, but he really struggled in that game against Florida. I mean, this guy couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from 3 feet away, and it was sad to watch because if he's making some of those threes at the end of the game, especially when they climb back in it, they could have made a run. Now, that leads me to another guy that really was head-scratching to me in this tournament, and that was watching this Wolford team and Fletcher McGee. I mean, you're talking about a kid that led the nation in three-pointers. I think he had 158 on the year, and then he did something no one else has ever done in a tournament game. Attempted 12 three-pointers and missed every single one of them. And if the guy hits two, Pete, they go to overtime against Kentucky. If he hits three, they win the game.
Yeah, I was sad. I was in a studio, so I saw in and out parts of the game. But you got to give Kentucky a lot of credit. I mean, they played excellent defense. I mean, coming into the game, they had a chance. Wofford to they were shooting like 41% from three-point land. You know, they were very good. And they held to 29%. And Fletcher was averaging 20 points a game. He wound up with 8. But, yeah, you know, 0 for 12 is stunning to be, you know, that. But they had a chance to beat Kentucky. But you got to give Kentucky a lot of credit with their defense. You know, they're playing without P.J. Washington, their best player. He's hurt. Hopefully they'll get him back down the road. But Kentucky's defense is outstanding. But, you know, I was stunned that he was 0 for 12, somebody who's that great of a three-point shooter. Because the last game, I think he made 7 threes.
Yeah, and well, I mean, Tyler Hero, just what a player this kid is as a freshman. Not only is he unbelievable defensively, and really, you know, to play him that well and not to foul him, that was the key. Stay on him, stay in his face, keep him in front of you, and don't foul him. And Kentucky did it to a T. Really, Tyler Hero deserves a lot of that credit. And what about this kid? I was amazed. I didn't even know the statistic. Tyler Hero has missed 1 free throw since December. I mean, that's unbelievable statistic.
That is unreal. I mean, and free throws win a lot of games. You see, a lot of games are lost by missed free throws. A couple of games I did it in the tournament down in the Colonial. You know, teams had chances to win games with free throws, missing them, and Old Dominion came in and won a couple of games in the last few seconds because of missed free throws by their opponents. So free throws win a lot of games. It's not pretty. You don't get a lot of attention for making them, but it helps you win. So, yeah, to miss only one since December is stunning, but got to give Calipari credit. He gets him ready at the right time. He's a tremendous motivator. He's a passionate guy, and he can connect with the players. He gets them, you know, how far they go, I don't know. But, you know, for them to get to the Sweet 16 with that younger team without their best player, to me, is very impressive.
Oh, I agree 100%. And John Calipari, you can't say enough about the guy. One of the greatest tournament coaches in the history of college basketball, bar none. But, you know, and Kentucky – This is what they do. They're prepared for this time of year. And a couple more teams I want to talk to you about. One of them that I'm scratching my head a little bit about is Purdue. They lose to Minnesota in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament. This is a team that ties with Michigan State as co-Big Ten regular season champions. But here they are in the tournament now, and they do something that's never been done in the history of the tournament. They beat the defending champion. Well, it's been done once before. I think it's the second most points that a defending champion has ever gone out by. Michigan, I think way back in 1990, got beat by like 34 by Loyola Marymount. But 26-point win over Villanova. Now, I understand Jay Wright lost 4 players to the NBA and still coached this team back, but a 26-point win against a Villanova, how dangerous is Purdue?
They are. I mean, Carson Edwards is unbelievable. I think he had 42 the other night. He made 9 threes, something crazy like that. So, yeah, they were unbelievable. Matt Harms is a big guy inside. He was very good. I hadn't seen a lot of Purdue, honestly, this year, but they were very impressive. I think they're a little streaky, but they got some good weapons. It's not just Carson Edwards. You know, Matt Harms is good. They got some other guys that can knock down shots. So they were impressive. They played good D. Matt Payne is a terrific coach also. You know, when he's got the horses, he does a great job with them. So, you know, the Big Ten, certainly impressive what they're doing so far. Michigan State, Purdue, you know, Iowa, they were impressive too. Iowa is a very, very good team. And, you know, I thought Cincinnati would beat them the first round with their defense, but, you know, Iowa's a tremendous offensive team. Them in Tennessee today should be a terrific game.
I'm looking very forward to it, and you're right. This the Big Ten right now is really flexing their muscles. John Beilein, I can't say I'm a Michigan State graduate, so obviously I'm a big Tom Izzo fan, but I can't help but respect and admire what John Beilein's done in his career, taking 4 different teams to the NCAA tournament. Canisius, Richmond, took West Virginia a couple times, Michigan now 9 times, went to the championship game last year, and of course lost to Villanova. This guy, man, in my book, is one of the best immersed in the game and really has rejuvenated, reinvigorated Michigan basketball. It has been stale since Steve Fisher left, really, and he's brought it back. And now I can't just gloat on Michigan State anymore because I always have to worry about Michigan in the state, which is really strong. But I want to ask you one more thing, and I was going to go into, you know, and it really does somewhat involve Duke. I think people are making too much out of Taco Fall and how big he is, and I just don't think UFC can stay on the floor with Duke. But the question I want to ask you, and it's been talked about a great deal lately, is Zion Williamson, and they're talking about like Ja Morant and even his teammate Barrett. Zion Williamson, what do you think of this guy morphing into the NBA? Because I know if I've got the first pick, there's no way I'm not taking him and taking a risk on not taking him. And if I'm a general manager or a head coach, losing my job. But I just think Ja Morant's going to be a better NBA player. I think he reminds me of Russell Westbrook. He really does. And I don't know who Zion reminds me of other than he is one of the most skilled collegiate players I've ever seen in my life. He's amazing. But will that translate to the NBA?
I think it will. He's just so explosive, so quick, so strong. He has to improve his three-point shooting. As you know, he's only shooting like 32% from three-point land right now. No, he's just so explosive and quick around the basket and so agile. I think he reminds me of a bigger version of Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley was an outstanding player, a more athletic, more explosive Charles Barkley. So he has to work on some things, but he's just so quick around the basket. I think he'll be great. But Ja Morant could be, it's a good point, he could be better. I mean, he's unbelievable shooting and the way he handles the ball, and he could be like a Russell Westbrook type guy. But they're both going to be great, like Mickey Mantle or Willie Mays, or Larry Bird or Magic Johnson. You got two great ones. So who's better? Everybody has their opinion, and nobody's right now or wrong right now.
Last thing I got to ask you about is this Virginia team. Virginia again comes in with as few losses as anybody in the country. The only team that seems to have their number is Duke up until Florida State in the ACC tournament. But this Virginia team, is it Bennett's year to finally get over the hump and get this team beyond the Sweet 16? Because, I mean, man, oh, man, they went to halftime down in the first game again. And I'm like, oh, please don't. I knew they were going to come back and win that game. But, again, you're like, man, can this guy, he's such a fabulous coach and one of the best defensive minds I've seen in college basketball, yet the guy can't get this team into the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I think they'll win. I think they'll win. I think they'll beat Oklahoma. Lon Kruger's a great coach, and I know he worked at UNLV for a number of years, did a wonderful job there. But I think they'll win that game. But, yeah, I really don't know. I think it's a little nerves early on. But I thought they'd win, too. I agree with you. I think it's their year. I think they'll get the Elite Eight. I picked Tennessee to beat them in the Elite Eight. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but and they could get to the Final Four. They got three terrific perimeter guys, but if one of those perimeter guys are off, what's his name, DeAndre Hunter or Ty Jerome, one of those guys are off, they got problems. They don't score from the 4 and 5 position very much. So, but I think they got a great shot to get to the Elite Eight, and they could get to the Final Four. Tony's a great coach and a class guy.
I would love to see that game, Virginia-Tennessee. I would love to see somehow that come to fruition. I think it can, and I lied. I got one final question because, of course, the coach at UNLV, Desiree Reed-Francois, our athletic director, wasted no time after the loss to San Diego State in the Mountain West Conference Tournament, and Marvin Menzies was fired after only 3 seasons. I say after 2 seasons because you can't really count that first one. Pete, your experience, what does it say about UNLV, and if you're trying to recruit, even if you're another coach coming in, to recruit players after they fired Dave Rice 3 games into the Mountain West Conference schedule 3 years ago or 4 years ago, Marvin Menzies gets 3 years to turn the program around when he comes to basically an empty cupboard, and now they're out in search of a coach. We are getting so many different names. While we're getting names and while no coach is getting hired, Pete, players are leaving like there's fireworks going off in the dormitories.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. The fire, Dave Rice at early in January was intriguing to me. I was surprised. And then Marvin Menzies is a good coach. Give him one more year. He might have made it, might not, but that was enough. As you said, he got the job real late, right, because Chris Beard, he left, right? He went to Texas Tech, his alma mater. So I didn't have enough time. I was disappointed with that. You know, I mean, you got to give a guy a chance. P.J. Kalismo, when he went to the Final Four, took him 6 years at Seton Hall many years ago. It takes coaches 4 or 5 years. If you're patient with them, you know what I mean? Marvin could have continued to build and done well. So who knows? I don't know all the details. I'm not there at UNLV every day. But I think it's a great job, you know, but the expectations are really super high as long as they give the coach, you know, what he needs, you know, and give him time. You got to, you know, it takes time to build, you know, and Marvin didn't have enough time. I was disappointed he got rid of him so soon. But these schools now, there's so much money involved that, you know, it's really professional sports at the college or university level.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, you know, what didn't help Marvin is Chris Beard's success at Texas Tech when they hired him here. He, like I said, he's the only undefeated coach in UNLV history. He was here for 19 hours. But I think him going to Texas Tech and having that success, and both him and Marvin Menzies roughly hired at their prospective universities at the same time, didn't bode well for Marvin. It was one other thing she could hold against him. Plus, if you've been to the Thomas and Mack, which I think is one of the nicer facilities in college basketball, it, Pete, you and I could talk to each other at opposite ends of the stadium during a UNLV game, and that they can't have. And I think, you know, obviously that's the biggest problem. My question is, like I said, are they putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole? Who are you going to get? What are you going to pay him? And are you expecting a quick fix? Because it's not going to happen.
No, you're right. No question about it. I think it's a great job, but they got to give them the support. You got to give them the time. It takes time. And then, like I said, when those two coaches get fired at different times, it seems a little bit, you know, unnerving if you're a candidate. That's something, you know. But I think it's a good job. He's got a good young coach, you know, somebody that is aggressive, good. It's all about recruiting. It's 85-90% of college basketball is recruiting. You know, a lot of good coaches, but you got to have the horses. So, you know, you got to give him a chance. As you said, it took P.J. Kalismo 6 years to get to the tournament. You know, Jeff Jones at Old Dominion, I think it took him 5 or 6 years to get there, and he's a terrific coach. He brought American Youth to the tournament. He got Virginia to the Elite Eight back in 1995. So a lot of good coaches, but you got to give him time. I think that's the biggest thing. Just give him time.
I couldn't agree with you more. And before I let you go, who's going to win the national championship?
Last time I picked a winner, Moby Dick was a minnow. So whoever I pick, go to the Vegas bookie and just – but I'm picking North Carolina. I'm going through with the Tar Heels. Everybody's picking Duke, but I'm going with the Tar Heels. I just like their athleticism. They got three seniors, Luke May, Cameron Johnson, a transfer from Pitt, and Kenny Williams. So three seniors, some talented freshmen. Anything. I did pick the winner last year at the beginning of the tournament. I picked Villanova, so maybe I get lucky again. But before that, I was 0 for life. I couldn't pick a winner.
Well, Roy Williams.
I'm going with Carolina.
Roy Williams has it going on, that's for sure. And Carolina has as good of a chance as anyone. I think they were 3-1 out here to win it all, which to me, I it wasn't worth it. But good pick. He is Pete Gillen. We appreciate him. CBS Sports Network. What are you broadcasting today? You doing what game?
I'm in the studio. I've been in the studio all week in New York City for CBS Sports Network. I'm going home for a couple of days to Virginia where I live, and then I'm coming back Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I'll be at the Final Four doing some studio work there, you know, at CBS Sports Network. So I'm excited. Great time of year, and I'm looking forward to some great basketball the next couple of weeks.
Pete Gillen, we definitely appreciate you joining Out of Line, and we'll do this again, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Great stuff. And, you know, you hear and, it, you know, it, you get it reiterated by a coach. And, I mean, I know he's being sympathetic towards Marvin and stuff, but I believe that's the way he feels. And I like hearing somebody like that that really that does have that behind him and stuff. Are we due for another break, Mags? Oh, we are. Okay, we're taking our last break.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
That's right, it's Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. It is a long three-pointer away from Centennial Hills Hospital, and they have two happy hours every day. It is America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports, and of course, during football season, we are there every Monday night. We'll be back there again this coming year, and I got to tell you, as far as Blazin' goes right now, the NCAA tournament is flipping blazing, and the games today are blazing, and the players in the league are blazing. It's just this time of year this time of year is my favorite time of year, and it's blazing. But I've got to give an honorable mention to a team that's blazing. And, Chris, we talked about them. The Golden Knights are getting ready to go play them, these St. Louis Blues. And this is a team that I'm telling you right now could do a lot of damage. And it all starts with goaltending. And when you've got a hot goaltender, Chris, everything changes. And right now, Jordan Binnington is ridiculous. And this guy is becoming impermeable. He started 25 games this year, Chris. He's won 20 of them. The guy has pitched 5 shutouts. He's got a 1.84 goals against average. And what that spells is that spells troubles for teams in the Stanley Cup Finals. If this guy stays this hot, let me tell you right now, and I'm going to say it on camera on Facebook, the St. Louis Blues could win the Stanley Cup this year. I'm dead serious. They just beat the best team in hockey in Tampa Bay yesterday. While the Golden Knights were getting beat by the Wings, the Tampa Bay Lightning were getting beaten by the St. Louis Blues.
Well, next opponent for the Golden Knights as well. They play them tomorrow night in St. Louis. Team that's already beaten them twice this season. Look, the reality is, if you're in that Central Division, or if you're Calgary, who's leading, this is not the team you want to play in the first round. I mean, the reality is St. Louis has a history of underachieving in the playoffs, but I don't know if they've had a goalie this good since Curtis Joseph. And
Cujo.
You know, former Las Vegas Thunder.
Yes, he was. But, Cujo. I love that
You know,
guy.
I mean, the reality is this is a team you do not want to play in the first round. And I would not be at all shocked to see Nashville, Winnipeg, or Calgary lose to this team if they play them in the first round.
Yeah, if they keep playing the way they're playing right now, this is when you want to play your best hockey, when you want your goaltender to get hot. And I just hope, you know, and by the way, should we say congratulations to Marc-Andre Fleury? How cool is that, man? I mean, he's got to be a pretty happy guy right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, first son, first boy.
He's got a legacy.
James, his name's not 9 pounds. Yeah, right. 9 pounds for little James. And I guess he came a couple days early, but... congratulations to
better now than during the Stanley Cup playoffs, Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, you have to give him the night off, and you can't give that guy a night off in the playoffs. Listen, I'm Brian Feldman. He's Chris Magnum. I've got Jose Valente working the camera. Hopefully we'll get him back on the line here soon. This is Out of Line, and we are here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m., Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 a.m., flagship station of the 2018 Western Conference champion Vegas Golden Knights. March Madness continues today. Check it out. We're back next week. Appreciate Pete Gillen for joining the show. Appreciate John Merrill and William Carrier for giving us their time as well. Hey, I'm out. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Bye-bye.